This is Anderson Fenton's podcast, episode 93 for Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Fenton's Radio Network.
Crap, I was going to jump in and say this is Lisa before you said this is Brian, just to totally mess with you. But you really zipped that right in there.
Well, either way, we think we should just ink it up.
I think we should, because we got some ink news and paper news.
We got
all sorts of stuff.
Okay, so where do we start?
We start with, it's really good to be home in one piece. Oh, my heavens.
So, let's see, we left.
I don't even know when we left.
What day is this? Is it Tuesday?
We left Thursday night.
Okay. Yep. So we got everything packed up and got home, had dinner, and then took a nap.
Yeah, that was kind of nice. We weren't sure if we took a nap, if we would be tired. You know, sometimes you take a nap and it rejuvenates you. Other times you take a nap and then you never quite recover. So we took a quick nap and we left right about midnight on Thursday night. And the plan was to arrive in Baltimore in time to go see Bertram's Inkwell, go see Bert's show, and we were very excited about that. So.
Yeah. So about 2:30, 3:30.
About 3.5 hours in, we were in the less than great part of Chicago.
I'm checking out the chat.
All right, so here we go.
So this is the story. Light comes on in the dash.
Yep.
Not what you want to, you know, not what you want to see.
Yeah, it's two lights, actually. One showing the specific tire and one showing an exclamation point in, like, this little frame, which is never good. So,
yeah, well, I didn't see that one. So anyway, so we pull over, and I take a look at it, and we get to the gas station. And of course, where we live here, air is free. So when I see, I have to put a dollar and quarters in for air.
it's going downhill from there.
It's going downhill from there. So, I'm like literally planning this on. I'm like, okay, so I'll take the valve cap off first. And then I'll run out and see how many steps is it, you know, because I want to be able to run over there and get my money's worth out of this this air machine. So I put in the four quarters, and I put it on, and it starts. I can hear, you know, you can hear the air, the pump's going, and I keep hearing shh, and as fast as it's going in, it's coming out the other side of the tire.
That's not good.
So I decide, well, this isn't working.
And this isn't where we want to call AAA from, and this is not where we want to be kind of broken down and vulnerable.
Well, I forgot that we had AAA at this point.
So we get some Fix-A-Flat, and we...
Well, even getting the Fix-A-Flat was an ordeal because the credit card machine inside the gas station wasn't working properly. So first I think it's my card because I'm not in Wisconsin and they're doing that whole travel thing. I didn't tell them in advance because that happens once in a while, right? And so I try another card and then another card. And then I'm like, you know, I've got way too many cards out. And I just don't want to get, you know, I want to almost get followed down the road and mugged because I've got all these credit cards in my pocket. Okay. So I go out and get cash, get the Fix-A-Flat, read the instructions, pump it in, and then it says you drive 2 to 4 miles to heat it up, and then it seals the leak. So we do that. We go down the road, come back, and then you're supposed to put air in it, and I put another dollar's worth of quarters in, fill this thing up, and shh is all I hear coming out of this stinking thing. So,
we drove down a couple miles, and then we headed back because at 2:30 in the morning there's not much open, and we find a different gas station that's open, and it looks a little safer. a little better lit, etc. And so we pull in, and the air machine is out of order. Rats. So we got to go back, and...
That's not how I remember the storm.
Yeah, we pulled into that other one.
Did we? I don't remember.
And there was an out-of-order sign.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So we did have to go back, and then we just decided, the heck with it. Let's just keep driving.
Yeah.
And then Lisa reminds me we have AAA, so I called AAA while we're on the phone.
The goal was just to get out of Chicago and find someplace safe.
So we drove for how long did we drive for? We drove
like half an hour.
Half an hour.
We drove from the outskirts of Chicago to Hammond, Indiana, because we missed the exit for the casino, because we thought if we're going to have to wait, at least that they'll have a big parking lot and they'll be open.
So I've got AAA on the line, and she kindly informs me that there's a Dunkin' Donuts in Hammond, Indiana. And
they
perhaps
know you.
That might be a nice place to go and get some breakfast. So by now it's 4:25 by the time we find, and she can't do anything until we've actually pulled in and stopped, because she doesn't want to, you know, disperse anybody. So we get in 4:25 in the morning, and
Dunkin' Donuts doesn't open until 5.
Yes, so in case you're up and about, 5 o'clock is the opening time. Just write that down on your pocket notebook or something. So we're fine. Okay, he'll be there within an hour, they say. And he'll, you know, and no out-of-pocket cost, great, whatever. So we decide this is the perfect time to sleep. We bundle up, getting ready to sleep, and 20 minutes later, the guy shows up.
Carl.
Carl from Alamo.
He was great.
That's my little plug for Alamo Towing.
Alamo. Hammond, Indiana.
In Hammond, Indiana, right. So he comes and he looks at it, great, no problem. You know, I mean, I can change a flat, but we've got so much stuff in the car, and these people are experts. This is what they do. So they could do it way faster than me.
Yep.
And sure enough, he's done in like 15 minutes.
It was great. And by then, Dunkin' Donuts is open.
He does warn us that while the spare does seem to be fine, that it is a little low on air, and perhaps we should go to the nearest gas station in the very near future and fill it up. So, of course, I'm thinking that's $3 worth of quarters now I'm spending on air. but that's fine. And we figure, well, it's now pushing 5:30, right? So it's a quarter after 5. We'll have breakfast, and then we'll get going, and then maybe in a couple of hours, if we can drive on this real slow on this spare, we can get a tire place and we get the tire changed.
Yeah, we just wanted to buy enough time, if you will, to get to a tire place that looked like some of the Firestones or the Goodyears would open at 7 or 7:30 overall. So we figured we'd just drive for a couple hours until we got to a city, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, so...
It's Carl with a C, by the way.
It's Carl with a C, okay.
There's Carl from Alamo in the chat.
There is not.
That's what it says. So, we have breakfast. The coffee was pretty good. Breakfast was pretty good, except apparently they gave our order... It was just a comedy of errors. They gave our order to...
To some guy in the...
Some guy in the drive-thru.
In the drive-thru, who I'm sure probably just ordered coffee.
Yeah. So...
You're so welcome for the
forever.
Breakfast bowl.
Took forever. So we get in the car after breakfast. Breakfast was pretty good. And then... We go 2 blocks. I guess it was about 2.5. And there's a gas station. So we're getting ready to turn around, and whomp, thump, 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 blew out the spare.
Yeah, spare's done. Our victory lasted all of 50 seconds, maybe.
So we pull into the gas station that's literally 2.5 blocks down the street from Dunkin' Donuts, and we called AAA again. It's us.
Yep. So it's another hour. And, of course, Carl shows up again within About a half hour this time.
He was pretty quick. He was very quick. Half an hour, 45 minutes. We were kind of dozing off. And, you know, we got out of the car. We're like, we missed you.
Yeah. So, and of course, he scolded us. I told you to go around the corner, down the corner from the White Castle. And yes, there's a White Castle and a Dunkin' Donuts like on the same block.
Yeah. Not healthy.
go around the corner and wait. So I said, okay, well, we'll just go and Lisa finds a place that's open at 7:30.
There's a Goodyear that opens at 7:30.
He
said there's nothing open. This is Hammond. This is Indiana. There's nothing open till like 9:30, and I found a Goodyear that was open at 7:30. So I'm like, take us there.
And we pulled it. We got there into the driveway. It was about what, 20 after 7?
7:26.
7:26. You know this exactly.
I looked because I wanted to make sure that they were going to be open soon because Carl from Alamo was, he takes his job very seriously, and he was unhappy that there were so few tow truck drivers answering the phone on that cold night, and he was being pulled all over the place.
So he was cool.
His cab warm.
It was very nice. Excessively. And of course, this is like, I mean, what it was? Was it below zero? I don't even remember.
Oh, it was. It was cold.
It was very cold. So anyway, yeah. We get there, and thankfully we got there right before 7:30 because within about 30 minutes, it was standing
full
in this joint. And of course, we needed four brand new tires.
And an alignment.
An alignment.
And a new spare.
Short, and it was... quite a number of pens we could have purchased for this. but they were cool. They were very, very cool. The 11s Goodyear in Hammond, Indiana. Total props to these guys.
Yep. And they did manage to save the spare.
They did, yeah. So
they blew it up and straightened the rim, and all was good. The older guy at the counter was great, and apparently it was the last day of the month for some dual rebate, so we got a instant rebate and a mail-in rebate, and it was, you know, considering the mileage that we put on our car every year, and we have been incredibly lucky. I mean, some of these road trips are, you know, LA and back is over 4,000 miles.
Our tire's not supposed to last 142,000 miles.
I'm not sure. So all things considered, we were incredibly lucky. We were not driving fast. The tire didn't blow out. We didn't roll. We didn't hit anything. I mean, it could have been so much worse. So, that's fine. They actually, when we looked at the tire that went flat, we didn't realize that we were actually down to steel band. So it was definitely time. And Carl was sweet when he loaded the car onto the flatbed. He pointed out before we got to Goodyear that we were going to need to replace all four tires because he looked at them and saw that they all needed some kind of help. And in the chat, they're asking about tires and pens. And yes, I thought of that. How many pens could we make out of all these tires?
Paul adequately points out that you can make a lot, but without any nibs.
So, thank you. But after we got the new tires and we had the alignment and they fixed the spare and all that, we pulled out of the Goodyear and it was a very smooth ride.
Yeah, it was about 10:30. So now we're excessively late on our trip. We know we're not going to make it to Bertram's,
which we really really wanted to do.
We did really want to go to, but. You know, at least we had planned some extra time in. We did pull in pretty much the rest of the trip there uneventful.
Yep.
And got in about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I had been on the phone with Bert a couple times and somebody else, I can't remember, but they had managed to secure the room for that evening. So we could set up, which was great. And we get in, and there was quite a number of people in the room. We had Susan Worth was there, and she was probably real influential in getting the room open. Let's see, who else? Paul Arano was there.
Oh, my God.
Scott Franklin and Jim Rouse had just gotten there.
that when people bring in a couple six packs of beer and other people are getting ready, and you know, we were trying to get set up, because you know, our setup takes anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 hours, and so we were incredibly grateful that we could come in and at least get part of it set up. But I gotta tell you, it's true, what happens at a pen show stays at a pen show, but man, did we hear some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I can't. We can't even mention it on the air.
No,
so.
But you know.
So what? We were there till, I guess, local time. Yeah, it was 10 o'clock local time when we got there. We were there for over 2 hours, because I think it was 12:45 by the time we left.
Yeah.
And we actually stayed. We stayed across the street. And so, I mean, it was literally out one parking lot into the other.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We saved, I don't know, it was less than half, but it was literally right across the street.
So that was Friday.
Yep.
Saturday morning we came in, and pretty much all we had to set up were some boxed pens and some leather or something. I don't remember. But we got it set up pretty quick, and Saturday was pretty busy. Now, this is the first year at the new hotel.
Yes.
And plus 300 points to Bert and crew for picking this location. Super easy to A, find, B, get to, C,
get into
stuff in. Yeah. So
Now, it doesn't have the charm and the architecture and the decor of the Tremont Grand.
Don't care.
But, you know, and for some people, that may be, they may miss that. It absolutely was a beautiful hotel. But
the hassle was not worth it.
The hassle wasn't worth it. The expense wasn't worth it. Getting in and parking for customers was really very difficult.
Yes,
so if the customer couldn't park and the vendors had a hassle, and, you know, we've mentioned last year, you know, to get into the old hotel, you had to go through a service entrance, through the kitchen, share a service elevator with all the dirty dishes and laundry that people were bringing up and down.
Right.
It was definitely a better hotel this year, and lots of room to expand. So as the show grows, they can expand into more of the ballroom. It is sectioned off.
And free, the parking was free.
Yes, parking was free, which is nice for everybody. And
plenty of it too. So,
I thought that the food was a bit overpriced, but typical hotel food. We didn't actually eat there.
I don't think we actually ate there. We didn't eat much.
Well, Bert had lunches catered on Saturday, and that was very nice.
That was nice because I would have missed it. I would have missed eating.
Yeah, very nice.
It was fairly busy. Lots of, I mean, this was now what I like, having everybody in one room. It's more like a Chicago show. It's small. Everybody's right there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. In the old hotel, there were two rooms, and this is much better. I like it a lot. So,
but we couldn't do Friday like they did. He couldn't get the room for Friday like he had the year before. So this was a two-day show. What else do we want to mention about Saturday?
Saturday was busy. Actually, there were high and low points, but I think overall the traffic was pretty good. We, you know, again, there's always interesting conversation floating around.
Yeah.
Was it Saturday that our Penn siblings got to meet?
It was Saturday. Our good friends Hugh and Carol came later. And Steph, of course. Showed up on Saturday, so finally they got to meet, which was very cool.
Yeah, and, we think of so many of you guys as our Penn family, and you know, we've known Hugh for a long time, and we've known Steph for a long time, and sometimes we forget that some of you haven't met, like Tracy and Mary and Shireen, and a bunch of you all got to meet in D.C., and we all got to hang out and stuff. And, you know, in L.A., we hung out with Paul a lot, and Steph was there. And we just forget sometimes that some of these people who are close to us haven't met. And so it was nice. there was hugging and all sorts of stuff. Jenny, yes, you will get to meet a bunch of people on Long Island. And, you know, it's really fun to meet your pen friends who you know online, but you get to meet them in person. And that's just a lot of fun.
That's the way it's
yeah.
That's the only reason you go to shows, right? I mean,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, Steph and Hugh got to meet, and then they went off to have lunch.
Yeah, and they were gone for, like, a long time.
Yeah, that was, like, wait a minute.
It's like, hey, we want to have fun, too. We're just hanging out.
Exactly, here.
Saturday was, I don't know what more we can say about Saturday, but Saturday night, right after the show, we teamed up with Scott Franklin and Jim Rouse from Franklin Christoph. And we went over to, now is there a name for the actual, the rest of the company, or is it just, you know what I'm talking about?
The
special event?
I'm not sure. I think it's part of a bigger entity, but.
Okay, so there was an open house, I guess, what you call it, at the.
Yes, that is what I called it. Heck yeah.
It was a.
Totally geeking out on this thing.
I should have had the glass to record your geeking out. But anyway, well, what I'm stumbling to say here is the owner of Write Notepads and Company hosted an open house at the. She's holding up the thing here.
I'm so excited. I'm still excited.
Had an open house at the actual manufacturing facility.
And we have spoken to Chris a couple of times. Met him in D.C., saw him again in Philly.
Chris Roth.
Yeah. I just call him Chris Rock. And so we were invited to this open house at the manufacturing, at the printing plant. And now most of you know I do a little, I feel so amateurish now, a little printing, you know, the notepads and the notebooks and the cards and all of that. They had these huge machines and
yeah, these things are hundreds of feet long. I mean,
I was so excited, and we got to see how some of the old Heidelberg press worked. And
Heidelberg press,
is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a Heidelberg
yeah.
press.
Yeah, and some of the letterpress machines, and there was a.
Yeah, and some of these things go back to, what did you say, the two on the side there, not the Heidelbergs, but the other two were from the 1920s.
Yeah, yeah. It was just so cool. And he had a little spread of some wine and some beer and some hors d'oeuvres. The marinated mozzarella balls were really good.
No, I didn't have any of those, but the shrimp was good.
Yep, the shrimp was good.
He had, what, 8-10 bottles of wine or something like that? And the joke was, of course, you know, every minute we were going by that there was a bottle of wine gone.
We were good. But
no, we were good. We were good, but we didn't eat, so that was going to be dinner.
Right, right.
Which I didn't prove to be so successful because...
Yeah, we got hungry later.
Yeah, we got hungry later, yeah. So, and a couple of glasses of wine, and then we had to go to get back to the hotel for the auction.
Yep.
But not before Lisa was actually using one of these machines to make.
Oh, I mean, man. You know. So, and they had this huge paper cutter. Oh, my God.
We got a demonstration of the paper cutter. That was really cool.
We got some demonstrations, and I got to tell you, I was totally geeking out fangirl the whole time. You know, there was a point when I a long time ago, I actually considered taking a job at Kinko's just so that I could, like, spend more time with some of those machines and learn some of the ropes. And so we were brainstorming and running some ideas back and forth. But I got to tell you, these big, old, heavy, clunky machines, and it's – we learned a lot. Like, one of the Heidelberg presses has this bar across it, and so Chris was showing us how it worked and how there's like an emergency stop, and it was just fascinating. Totally geeking out.
That was cool. I would like it to be a regular stop in the
Well, you probably still got wine left. I will have to mention that Chris earned a reputation very quickly And I'll just say he's the man who took down Scott Franklin.
Took down Scott Franklin.
Hard. So we'll just leave it at that. But no, the car, the paper cutter would not fit in the car. It was huge.
It was bigger than the car.
Yeah. It was like you could chop a body in half. So, of course, you know, we had some conversations about that. But
So the end result of all this ends up that we're actually late to the auction.
I felt bad for Gary Garner because he
I did too. And Lisa's like actually working up in the front. And my job, of course, is grueling as it is to bid. So Steph was with us. That's right. And so we got in late, but that was okay. We only missed like 9 or 10 lots, but the first
and most of them got passed.
Ten got passed anyway. So there was about 78 lots total in the auction. Of course, I stopped off to get a beverage, and I'm violating rule number one about auctions to not drink and bid, and ended up with some Esterbrooks that I didn't remember bidding on at the end of the auction. So, but I did get one item for myself.
Yep.
And this, you guys are not going to believe this is the only pen. Two things. This is the only pen I bought the entire weekend.
Not
and
me.
Yes.
Ta-da!
Yeah, you're next. And this, and yes, this does have a nib. Sorry, Wayne. Here it is. It's a black chased hard rubber eyedropper. Gold filled band on the cap, and what makes this interesting, you ask? It is made by Maybe Todd and Company, and it's a screw cap eyedropper. Cap says screw, screw cap, is what it says, not screw you. Initials FEA on the cap band, real nice. But the brand is one I've not seen before. It is called the Roose, R-O-O-S-E. And a couple of quick searches, and thanks to Steph, there was an article in the American Stationer magazine that you can find on Google. Apparently, the Roose was a very low-cost, entry-level pen, $1 at the time, but it has a 14-karat Maybe Todd and Company nib. Nice little pen. So that's my takeaway for the weekend.
Now, is Harold in the chat? When did Harold and his daughter show up? Was that Saturday or Sunday?
I don't remember. Sunday, I thought.
Now, Brian's going to tell you a story, and I just want you all to not believe a single word he says.
No, you go ahead.
Really? Oh, I get to spin it. So a friend of ours had some pens to sell, and we'd gone back and forth, and you guys know me, I'm pretty cheap when it comes to pens, and came to the show, and he brought the pen, and it's an Aurora, so he knew I wanted it. And so I said, you know, what are you thinking? Because, you know, a couple months ago, Saturday, Steph says, yeah. He brought his daughters, who are absolutely adorable, and they had come up to visit us in here in Appleton over the summer. And so Harold brought the Aurora and said, he gave me a price, and apparently I didn't hesitate, according to Brian. So
yeah, pretty much there was about as much space in between the offer and the I'll take it as, you know, it takes for light to get from one end of the house to the other.
He set a number, and it was for the three-piece set. It was very reasonable. So anyway, Wayne, forgive me. We're working on the other thing. I am the new proud owner of this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous Aurora. I mean, what's Optima not to like? Yeah, it's an Optima. It's in a beautiful blue color with a fine nib. Absolutely gorgeous. And it also has the rollerball and ballpoint. So
I was thinking about taking the rollerball for myself.
What? Wait. Did we just get that on record? Brian wants the rollerball?
I was thinking.
Chat people, help me out here. OMG.
All right, so.
Beautiful set.
Yeah, nice set. The chat is reminding me I forgot to talk about one of the pens in the auction.
Oh.
okay, so. There was an Esterbrook pen for sale in the auction.
Yep.
And it is the plunger fill, which is Esterbrook's version of the touchdown. So the end on the screws, and you push it down like a touchdown. It had a very unfortunate name imprint on the barrel, which I was somewhat interested in the pen, but there was another gentleman who was more interested in the pen for its imprint, so I wasn't going to pay the price. But I'm going to say it slowly, and y'all can write it down and then just tell me what it looks like. I'll be paused for dramatic effect. The person's name on the barrel.
Or something.
Yeah, the person's name on the barrel was A. S. And then the last name, L. I. K. I. N. S.
How unfortunate. Lichens. That's it. It's lichens.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So it. Of course they had a good time with that in the auction.
What else? Well, we got a couple of interesting Esterbrooks in the auction.
We did. What did? Oh, I won.
Oh, you won like a
wearever. I won a script cert and a.
Oh, Lisa won a wearever.
A wearever. I actually bought a wearever, but it's the Schaefer script cert wannabe wearever. So. And then I don't remember if it was Friday. What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I don't remember again if it was Friday or Saturday. Someone was coming around and trying to sell some pens, and we negotiated. He didn't like my price. He left.
Well, I bought a number of Esterbrooks from him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A couple nice ones. A couple, you know, a wartime. Bandless dollar pen with a palladium silver nib. Nice, nice pen. Actually, I may not have it. I'll have to double check.
Oh. He also had a LaBelle. And a long, long time ago, I had one of the tan LaBelle mosaics. And I really enjoyed it. Ended up giving it to a student who had done some special work. And
you gave it away?
Yeah, we'll have that conversation later. It wasn't even my student, but, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, so. Anyway, there are reasons X's are X's.
All
but
right,
anyway,
right. Okay,
so I had given away mistakenly this pen, and it had a great little case and all that. But this guy had one, and I haven't seen a LaBelle Mosaic pen in a long time.
But when I saw it, I knew. Focusing on you here.
Yep. But I was excited to be able to pick it up. Mine was the more tan and brown. This is more the gray. But it's a nice little pen. He came back. He agreed to my price because it wasn't exactly what I wanted, so it would have been fine to not go home with it. But I'm glad I have it. It was cool. So
well, you don't see him often, so I was gonna buy it for you because I know you had one and you're always talking about it.
Well, I really enjoyed the case, the little leather case that it came in, and the brown was really pretty. In fact, I made a pad out of that pen, so yeah, it was nice. Good little writer. It's actually quite a heavy pen. So
what else did you get? You got more pens than I did this trip.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I got one. Here's mine. Ta-da!
I got an Aurora fountain pen, ballpoint, rollerball set. That really only counts as one. I won a Schaefer script cert and a wherever. That doesn't really count. And I bought the LaBelle.
Well, yeah. So you bought. Okay, my math is a little rough here, but I got one, and you just rattled off like four. Therefore,
yeah, but usually you get more. I'm allowed once in a while, so.
So I mean, just that just means Long Island's gonna be
mine.
Killer. Yours?
Yeah.
My buddy George is going to be there. He's going to have
Oh, and that's the other thing. So George shows up, and at first he's got nothing for you, and then, what is it, Sunday, you're like passing pens back and forth. George, we need to have a talk.
Okay, so now, yeah, it's glad we bring this up, because I don't know, George in the chat, maybe it looks like he is.
He was.
George is the luckiest guy on the planet, right? So,
yeah, but he's the sweetest guy on the planet.
He is. He's the sweetest guy. He's persistent, and he knows what to look for. He's going through essentially what's akin to a parts box almost, and comes up with a Parker 51 prototype desk pen. Now this thing is cool because it's the whole thing, and it doesn't come apart. It's a capillary action 51. It's got what looks like possibly a sterling silver part attached to the collector underneath the nib. It's got a date code. There's no way to take this thing apart. There's a breather hole in it, and that's it. And he found it essentially in a parts box. And then he also found, for you Skyline fans, which was really impressive, it was the first time I've ever seen one of these, a Skyline with a stainless steel cap. And George will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he said that particular model was only made, only showed up in one catalog, 1 year. So, very cool. And of course, this one was perfect. So, nice finds for our good friend George. Just cool stuff. And I saw cool Omos. There's a guy across the table from us.
Yep.
I should have got his card.
That was cool.
He had the neatest little Omos. I guess I've only been collecting Omos for a little bit.
Oh my,
right. I did not know that they actually made the 360 in a cartridge version, and I actually thought I broke the dang pen, because when I turned the piston knob, the piston was...
You break it, you buy it.
Right, I know, right?
That is not the way to buy pens, by breaking them, young man.
The section comes out. And so you twist the end like
funky.
You would a piston, and the section comes out, and there's a tray, and you put the cartridge in. It had a double broad oblique nib. I should have bought it, but...
That's a shovel, man.
It was nice. Really, and a nice sharp oblique, too. Really, really good. So I don't remember who it was. I guess I could ask Bert, but... I don't
know. I knew who it was.
See? You guys can do this card?
Yeah, I have it. Okay. Actually, I have to send him some stuff, so...
Do you really?
I do. PCA stuff.
It was a pretty blue, like a dusty, what would you call that blue? Dusty,
like a
grayish
sleep blue.
Blue. Yeah, really pretty. So, anyway. What else is going on with the show? Who else was there that we need to talk about?
Marta was there again.
Marta was there? Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, you know, she showed up and then disappeared.
Let's see, who else did we see? No, it was next to Mike Quick.
Yeah, it was next to Mike Quick.
Felix,
yeah.
And somebody.
And Mike had a pen I was interested in, too. He had a beautiful, beautiful mother of pearl slab eyedropper.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonably priced. Just couldn't do it.
We got to spend some time with Kenny Jones from Yaffa. We had a good
Kenny's
time
a
there.
Kenny is a trip, man.
Let's see. We did pick up some Mont Blanc ink, so check out the site if you're a Mont Blanc ink fan. It'll go fast.
You got a little bit of it.
It always does. That, so. Steph snagged some already.
Yeah, the last purple.
Yeah.
What else? I didn't get around very much until Sunday afternoon.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
I guess we talked about traffic. Sunday was kind of slow. I mean, everybody's worried about this big storm that's coming.
Oh, about the storm.
Yeah. So some people left Saturdays.
Some people left early on Sunday. Some people, vendors, that is. I think that the traffic was a little light on Sunday. But the people who came to the show wanted to be there.
Yeah.
When was the fire alarm?
That
was on Sunday because Hugh and Carol were both there.
Yeah.
Somebody set off a fire alarm And so you get this klaxon going off and this automated voice telling everyone to evacuate
the
building.
Please evacuate
Everybody in the ballroom's looking around. Some people are covering up, and Brian and I are looking at each other going, I don't smell anything. Man. I'm not leaving.
I'm going down. I'm going to be the last one out of that room. See, the problem is that happened in D.C., a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people left, and then when they came back in, stuff was gone.
Yeah. So.
You know, so I'm not falling, you know, if there's actual fire, we're going to grab our stuff and we're going to go, but.
Yeah.
No way. So, yeah, there was a fire alarm. That was exciting.
This obnoxious siren and the lights that you don't even notice in the room. I think it must be like the emergency lights, and all of a sudden they're like super bright, like halogen lights, and they're flashing. And
oh yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty obnoxious. But that was Bert puts on a great show, and we had decent traffic. A lot of people were very happy. Some people were complaining they had a hard time finding the hotel, which, quite frankly, I find hard to believe.
Yeah, it was really easy.
Because I thought it was very easy to find and super easy to get into. I like the new hotel very much.
Yep.
I think next year there will be a Friday. I think it was just that he couldn't swing the Friday for this year.
Yep.
So.
Awesome. So that was kind of Sunday in a nutshell. It was supposed to go till 5, but pretty much by 4:30, there was nobody left in the room except the vendors. We normally stay till we'll stay till the bitter end, but there was nobody there, and we really kind of wanted to avoid this storm that was coming in. So we got everything packed up.
Well, we also bought a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
So, again, sort of like in...
Oh, wait, yeah, you got something else. The pelican picture.
Yeah, so similar to in L.A. when, you know, whatever we sold, the room was taken up with other stuff. We picked up a couple of pelican calendars. So those are cool.
That's an annual thing, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. So we'll have to get more next year. We picked up this really cool... slightly overpriced, but really cool, vintage pelican poster that was matted and framed, and it had a gold inner mat, and then an outer mat that had script, some kind of script words or something, engraved or
that
I don't know the term
press,
for
would that
it.
Be letterpress?
Yeah, letterpress. It was let's just call it engraved, the mat, the outer mat. And then it had a really pretty burled wood look frame. So we took that home.
Yet another reason to come visit the store, because that's
cool. Oh, because it's pretty. It's this big, big poster with all the listings of all the vintage pelicans.
Different years.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. So.
Oh, well, that just tells me what I need to buy.
Okay, so
we also picked up some, if you're into beautiful reference books, picked up 10, but Andy Lambrow's, one of his books. Yeah, and so that is really cool.
We'll get those on the site in my spare time,
mm-hmm.
maybe this week. And a number of other things I think we'll just hold off on just for dramatic effect. One thing that is up on the site that I think we should tell people about, and you have an example in front of you?
I do. The brand new Write notepads are up on the site. These are very cool. Chris had given me a sample a while back to play with, and so these are really neat. Lined or blank.
Large or small.
Large or small. And the cool thing is that since Chris is a left-hander, he made some that are for lefties. And so those are really cool, really nice paper.
That confuses me. So it's like the cover's on the other way?
Yeah.
So, like, do you go through the notebook backwards then? How does that
work?
Well,
not if you're left-handed. Yeah, it's the, when you're a lefty, the spiral is on the wrong side for you. So it's cool.
Okay.
It's very cool. And
all right, so we have those anyway. So they're what?
Those are up on the site.
Eight different options, whatever.
Yep, small and large, blank and lined.
And they're nice. I actually opened them up. We got some samples. There's with the Baltimore skyline here.
Skyline.
Which was skyline, but.
I took the big rubber band off of mine. You still have yours on. But it's a big band. Those are cool.
It comes with this big rubber band here that says write notepads, and then you just.
And it'll keep the notebook closed, or you can use it for other things.
It's really, really strong. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Just, here it is on.
Yep. These are great. So, and then
nice Chris, paper.
Very nice paper. I was very impressed. Chris also gave us some samples. So the first several people who buy one of the write notepads also gets a cool ruler and a blotter with a vintage Parker ad on it. It says Parker Safety Sealed Self Filler.
That
so that's kind of
button filler there, it looks like.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. Order a notebook, and you get a little ruler. It's 9 inches. And a blotter.
All right, that's fine. It's fine. You can say 9 inches.
There you go. That's for you, Eric.
There we go. All right. What else? Anything?
Some stuff that we've got coming up on the site.
We got a bunch of stuff in today.
We did. Poor Brian comes in after work, and there are these huge, giant boxes of bubble wrap. And last week, I think we mentioned before that one of the things that we do to, number one, keep costs down, and number two, to be eco-friendly, is we collaborate with a local company who receives in a lot of shipments, but they don't ship anything out. So we take all their peanuts off their hands, all their styrofoam peanuts. And I got in touch with them. They had a big bag ready for me. I can't describe how big this thing is. It's not possible to... It would not fit in our son's car. He's got a Saturn. I think we could fit it in our car. It was huge. There's a picture of me carrying it down the street, but I felt like Santa Claus.
Yeah,
it was
it's
crazy.
It's about the width of two of our cases.
Actually, I took a picture of it in front of the Parker case, and it is about 5.5 feet long by about 2 feet tall and about 2 feet wide. It's huge. It's huge. So I was carrying that down the street. But we got bubble wrap in, too, because we need that for packages. Finally got in our Eroshizuku. So we're restocked on that. Noodlers. I've got like 100 pounds of noodlers on the way. Rhodia is being restocked this week. We did get in the larger size Rhodiorama, the webbies in the different colors. Those are cool. I totally want one.
You better start doing some writing.
And supposedly, the missing diamine is on the way. Although I did have a conversation with another retailer in Baltimore, and apparently we are not the only ones waiting and waiting and waiting for this stuff. So that's about it for new that I know of. We've got a couple surprises.
Couple surprises for next week.
Yep, a couple surprises that'll be up in the next week. So there we go.
All right, you got some shout-outs?
I do. I had a lovely conversation with a 10-year-old named Marshall. And he bought a pen. He's already got a couple pens. He bought it with his own money. He asked all the right questions. He had an idea of what he already wanted by the time he got there. And so a big shout-out to Marshall.
Okay.
A shout-out to Joe. Joe had tweeted, and he was looking for an Esterbrook, so he walked away with, it was what, a pretty green Esty? You dealt with it.
A green dollar pen with a 2668 medium nib, and it was a we filled them up with some Sailor Epinard, mm-hmm. and which is a perfect match, by the way, for a green master book. And very, very, very smooth, very nice writing class. So.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then big, big shout-out to Becca and Lainey. Harold took a picture of me with his daughters.
Oh, it's the cutest picture ever.
Yeah, so that was fun. They're just so – I can't believe how big they're getting. Oh, my God. We also got to meet Tim Hoffman's new baby, Elizabeth. She's got the cutest little cheeks. I love babies. Just all saying.
Right. All right. Well, and you know, 100 people.
Yeah. We are. I always think afterward that, oh, I should write that down. I forget. But, you know, big thanks to Chris for the party on Saturday and Steph for helping keep Brian out of trouble.
Oh, and the donuts, by the way. We almost missed it.
Oh my God.
Steph brought the most killer donuts on the planet.
Second most killer. I have to tell you, the ones in L.A. with the Irish whiskey in them,
yeah, I don't know. I like these a lot. And it was nice for her to bring a 5-pack.
yeah, it's funny how that happened.
Weirdest thing.
The apple cider donuts were amazingly yummy. I do still prefer the ones from the Nickel Diner in L.A. because those were just
I thought they were a little
orgasmic.
Too elaborate. I mean, I felt like I needed to eat them with a fork and a plate and just, you know. But, you know, the chocolate, cream stuffed chocolate is right up my alley. So
The apple cider donuts were great. Yummy. Thank you so much.
So. What else? Anything? Is that it?
No, we've got some meetings this week that hopefully will be interesting. We've got some projects on the way, so we're looking to finalize some things that we'll be able to talk about in the next couple weeks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. I guess that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pen, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Definitely like us on Facebook, and if you are local, check out the new Appleton Pen Club page.
You're throwing me for a loop here.
I know, how was that?
If you're in Appleton, please stop and visit us, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
You can send us an email.
Email's Brian at AndersonPens.net.
I'm just messing with him. Or Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We do have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/AndersonPens.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
blog.AndersonPens.net.
And the website. Check it out for all sorts of cool stuff, AndersonPens.net.
And you can join our mailing list to advance notice of upcoming events, new products, cool stuff that's going on. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We will see you next week when we've had like maybe slightly more sleep.
Yeah. And donuts.
Night.
Night all.